You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 24th of March, 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today we're going to look at some news over in America. We're going to look at this supermarket massacre, which at first was being presented as if it was a white shooter, and since then we have discovered that it was a non-white shooter. But the narrative hasn't changed. The narrative is all about how can we blame white people for this? It doesn't matter who the shooter is, it will be white people that are blamed for it. And all that really changes is the ways that they find to blame white people for it. And there are more people now in the alternative media that are starting to wake up to this and point this out. And this is this most recent example of it does not happen on its own. It's not a solitary example of it, as we will see as we go through the show today. Ahmad al-Aliwi al-Issa was born in Syria and moved to the US when he was three. He now lives in Arvada, Colorado, around 30 miles from the grocery store that he targeted. He was taken into custody and transported to the hospital to be treated for a leg wound, and he has since been released from the hospital and is now in Boulder County Jail. Police have not yet confirmed his motive, but he has been charged with 10 counts of murder. In Facebook posts over the last 18 months, he complained about not having a girlfriend, ranted about President Trump, and talked about his Islamic faith. All 10 of his victims were white. And of course, there's been a lot of talk at the moment about attacks on Asians, which have actually been carried out predominantly by black people. And then there was actually an attack on Asians by somebody white last week. And people have blamed white supremacy as a whole for all of these attacks. And they were actually doing that before this attack on the Asian hookers. And there were actually two white hookers that he attacked as well. That wasn't a racial attack, although it is being portrayed as that. Now, this attack that took place in Boulder, there's been no mention of this at all on the national news in Britain. When it was actually occurring, it was late at night, and they did move to a live feed where they had a press conference that was going on. And it was very strange because they wouldn't actually say what had happened. I ended up going to bed before they'd actually said what had happened or how many people had been killed. They were just saying that there had been an incident. And then the next day there was nothing about it on the news. And I was thinking, well, what's happened? What's happened there? Well, of course, what happened there was that they discovered that the guy that carried out the massacre wasn't white. And that wasn't until various members of the establishment had assumed that he was white. Vice President Kamala Harris's niece has deleted a tweet after facing backlash for assuming the Boulder grocery store gunman was white because he was taken into custody alive. Mina Harris deleted her tweet on Tuesday after police revealed 21-year-old gunman Ahmad al-Aliwi al-Issa, who is accused of shooting dead 10 people a day earlier, is of Syrian descent. Of course, she's saying this because there is this Black Lives Matter narrative that if you're white, you're going to be taken into custody alive. If you're black, you're going to end up dying. But the reason for that, if those statistics are correct, is probably because if you're black, you're far more likely to resist arrest. And when I've seen these instances of these massacres, and it's a white man that has actually been the shooter, you always see him putting the gun down and putting his hands up, and then he gets arrested. And when you hear about somebody black doing something like this, they try to shoot the police as well. And I'm particularly thinking of the guy that was shooting at the police in Texas. I'm thinking of the black guy that had a knife and was brandishing his knife at the police recently when there was a Black Lives Matter protest. Statistically, black people are far more likely to resist arrest than whites. And this is the reason why we have this discrepancy that Vice President Kamala Harris's niece is referring to here. The Atlanta shooting was not even a week ago. Violent white men are the greatest terrorist threat to our country, the 36-year-old tweeted in the hours after the massacre. And of course, she was referring there to this attack on these hookers, which it looks like he was somebody with some, well, he looks like he has problems. When you look at him in the picture of him, he looks like somebody who likes to blame everybody else for his own problems and has difficulty finding anything positive in his life. And that is a common symptom, I think, with people today. Yes, we do have a lot of problems in our society, but at the same time, we are actually shielded from so many of the problems that we had in the past. I mean, when you just think of the parasites that we have and how we can get rid of internal parasites today and we couldn't in the past, you think of the tapeworms and the roundworms and the ticks and the nits and all these bugs and all these diseases that we used to have in the past that we've managed to get rid of today. You think about the instant communication we have, the ease in which we can just go to the supermarket and pick up our food, the ease with which we can travel. A lot of people today just really don't realize how lucky they are. And I think you can see that in the eyes of this shooter from last week, that he doesn't realize how lucky he is, and he's blaming everybody else for his problems. And he was quite clearly blaming these hookers for the fact that he had a difficulty with sexual restraint. And that's not really to do with today's podcast, but it's just a point that I wanted to make, that we are actually very, very lucky to be living in the time that we are, and we should try to think about the good things in life rather than thinking about the bad things. Well, Mina, who is a mother of two, a lawyer and a children's book author, then revealed that she had deleted that tweet. "I deleted a previous tweet about the suspect in the Boulder shooting," she said. "I made an assumption based on his being taken into custody alive and the fact that the majority of mass shootings in the US are carried out by white men." Well, that may or may not be true. When you actually look at the statistics, well, the majority of mass shootings, if they are carried out by white men, that is what you would expect, because white people are the majority, aren't they, in America? I believe there's something like 65% white. America is still 65% white, maybe 70% white. So you would expect mass shootings, 65 or 70% of them, to be carried out by white people. We do know that they include Latins in their description of white, and they include Arabs in their description of white. So when you're looking at those statistics, what they actually show is that white people are less likely to carry out mass shootings than their percentage of the population would actually predict. Now, it wasn't just Kamala Harris's niece who was blaming white people for this attack that was carried out by a Syrian refugee. Former President Barack Obama on Tuesday released a statement on the Boulder shooting, saying recent killings are being driven by disaffection, racism, and misogyny. Despite Colorado officials identifying the gunman who slaughtered 10 inside a grocery store as a Syrian-born immigrant. So if this was a racist killing, it was obviously a racist killing of whites by a non-white, which is exactly what it was. But nobody is pointing that out. Nobody is accusing this Syrian refugee of a hate crime. And yet every one of his victims was white. That was the one thing that united every one of his victims. That was the one thing that he would have known about them, is the fact that they were white. That was the reason why he killed them, but nobody is pointing that out. That can be the only reason that he killed them, because, as we say, if whites make up, say, 70% of America, and he killed 10 people, you would expect at least 3 of those people to be non-white, and they weren't. So he obviously picked people that were white. Obama linked mass shootings to discrimination in a message posted to Twitter calling for new gun control laws after the Boulder, Colorado shooting Monday and the murder of 8 last week at massage parlors in the Atlanta area. And Biden is doing this as well. Biden is blaming the weapon for the behavior of the person who is carrying the weapon. If you get rid of guns and you ban guns, it just means that all the law-abiding people won't be carrying guns. All the criminals will still be carrying guns, and if you don't have a law-abiding person there with a gun, who is going to protect you? You can't have police everywhere at every time of the day. You have to rely on the community to protect you, and in order for the community to protect you, the community has to have weapons. Now, it may be different in Britain, because in Britain, we haven't had guns for over a century. And until we had diversity, we didn't really have a problem with gun crime. But in America, where you have a country that has had guns for so long, it is not sensible to talk about removing guns from everyone, because it just wouldn't be possible. You would just end up with the criminals with all the guns and the law-abiding people with no guns. And also, this takes away personal responsibility. Something else which we see happening in our society all the time, try to take away the actual responsibility from people for the acts that they carry out. This incitement to hate wording that we have in our hate speech laws over here in Britain, that really takes away the responsibility from people, because it's saying, well, I'm not responsible for my own actions, and I was incited to do this act by somebody else. And we should be taught that we need to be responsible for our actions, and it is not an acceptable defence to say that somebody else told you to do something. But that, again, that is another matter. Obama said it will take time to root out the disaffection, racism, and misogyny that fuels so many of these senseless acts of violence, but we can make it harder for those with hate in their hearts to buy weapons of war. How do we know this guy had hate in his heart? Well, he killed people. Obviously, he was being hateful, but what Obama means here is he thinks that this is a hate crime. And again, this highlights the fact that killing somebody is hateful anyway. Why should it make any difference what the motive was if somebody has been murdered in cold blood? I mean, it was so ridiculous last week to hear this guy that had killed these hookers then saying, oh yes, but I didn't kill them because of race. I'm not really that bad. I didn't kill them because of their race. I just killed them because they were women. I mean, it's ridiculous. Killing somebody is wrong. It doesn't matter what the motive is behind it. Killing somebody out of anger is just as bad as killing somebody because you don't like their race, or killing somebody because you want to steal their wallet from them. I mean, it's really irrelevant what the motive is. There is still a life that's been lost, and we seem to forget that with this Orwellian term of hate crime and hate in the way that it is being spoken about here by Obama. He continued, we can overcome opposition by cowardly politicians and the pressure of a gun lobby that opposes any limit on the ability of anyone to assemble an arsenal. We can and we must. A once-in-a-century pandemic cannot be the only thing that slows mass shootings in this country. Well, if you stopped immigration and you separated the races and you had segregation, I think that would slow down the mass shootings quite considerably. But of course, nobody's going to do that, because apparently it doesn't matter how many lives are lost, we still have to promote multiculturalism and diversity. Well, let's have a closer look at this gunman that both Obama and Mina Harris assumed was white. And PJ Watson has looked into this, and this report comes from his Summit News. The gunman in Boulder, who killed 10 people at a supermarket, would routinely threaten his classmates with threats of filing fake hate crime charges after violently attacking them, eyewitnesses told the media. I mean, how predictable is this? It's like that meme, isn't it, of the attacker that screams out in pain while he is attacking you. And this is what we see happening. We see ethnic minorities, and in fact all minorities that are protected by these hate crime laws, they regularly attack white people, and then they scream about hate crimes when white people criticize them back or try to defend themselves. And here we have this shooter, this Syrian refugee, and he understands that these hate crime allegations are just there so that he can make them against people. He could just make them up if he likes, because it's the worst thing in the world is to be called a racist. It's worse than being called a rapist, being called a racist. It's certainly worse than being called the N-word. And these minorities understand that. They understand this power that they have over everybody else. And this Syrian refugee understood that power that he had. Despite the gunman's family telling the Daily Beast that the reason for his rampage was as a result of him being the victim of bullying in high school, Al-Issa's classmates say that the opposite is true. A Fox 31 report reveals that Al-Issa once punched a classmate and continued to hit him as he lay on the ground. Al-Issa tried to justify the attack by claiming the victim had made fun of him and called him racial names weeks earlier, although no other classmates could corroborate this. And again, this is their get-out-of-jail-free card, isn't it? They can do whatever they like, and then they can just claim that the person that they did it to, they used a racist word. The shooter's wrestling team, classmate Dayton Marvel, also told the Denver Post that in Al-Issa's senior year, during the wrestle-offs to see who makes varsity, he actually lost his match and quit the team, and yelled out in the wrestling room that he was going to kill everyone. Nobody believed him. We were just all kind of freaked out by it, but nobody did anything about it, said Marvel. He would talk about him being a Muslim, and how if anybody tried anything, he would file a hate crime and say they were making it up, he added. So we've got two instances of this now, here, being reported on by two different news organisations. Given this history and the fact that Al-Issa was an avid reader of mainstream media, questions must now be asked about his real motivation, given that all the gunman's victims were white, and whether he was radicalized by the anti-white racism that has been institutionalized by the press. And that's because, as we've said so many times here at Radio Albion, it is the mainstream media that are the ones that are inciting all the hate, inciting hate against whites. And the only mainstream media that actually seems to be accurately reporting on this is RT. New York activists respond to brutal attack on Asian man by rallying against white nationalism, even though the culprit was black, is the headline. Anti-racism activists in New York have risen up to rally against white supremacy as they demand justice for a Filipino-American man who was viciously slashed with a box cutter on the subway. Never mind that the attacker was actually black. Hundreds of protesters gathered at New York's Washington Square Park on Saturday afternoon and marched through parts of Manhattan chanting, "Whose streets? Our streets." The marchers congregated in front of the iconic Macy's store on 34th Street. One carried a sign declaring, "White nationalism is the virus." Organizers billed the event as seeking justice for the attack on Noel Quintana, And a promotional poster also said, "End the violence towards Asians. Let's unite against white nationalism." So this is the atmosphere that these things are going on in. We are seeing these ethnic minority groups, when they get attacked and when they get attacked by another ethnic minority, they have a rally against white people. And we see that when white people now get attacked in a supermarket, we see Obama saying it's white people to blame. We see Kamala Harris's niece saying it's white people to blame. The 61-year-old Quintana, a native of Manila, was attacked on February the 3rd on a crowded subway car as he headed to work in the morning rush hour. The attacker repeatedly kicked Quintana's tote bag, then slashed his face from ear to ear with a box cutter after the Asian man complained. And that's a really horrific injury there that they actually did to this man. I'm sure he got nothing but support from white people for this. And yet the rally in support of this poor man who was attacked blamed white people for it. I'm sure it was white people that were working in the hospital that stitched him up. And instead of thanking white people for that, they are blaming them for this horrific attack. Quintana had to seek help on his own, as none of the bystanders stepped in or called for an ambulance, and he received around 100 stitches to close his wounds. Police described the attacker as wearing a black mask with a Louis Vuitton logo and a black North Face coat, while apparently having a sharp eye for the apparel brands favoured by the suspected knifeman. Police did not mention other appearance aspects revealed in security camera footage of the man, such as his black skin and afro. So even now, when we can actually see that the attacker is black, it is still not being reported on. And even the police are pretending that he's somehow other than black. And this seems to keep happening. We've had lots and lots of recent attacks on Asians. And that's the American definition of the word, not the European definition. So it's attacks on Chinese that seem to keep happening in America at the moment. And all of them, apart from this attack on these hookers last week, have been carried out by blacks. Have another report on this phenomenon here from RT. As Pulitzer Prize-winning novelist Viet Thanh Nguyen has explained, Asians should not respond to the horrific attacks with knee-jerk calls for more policing, but must instead recognise the violence as part of a pattern of white supremacy. Even if the assailants are people of colour, he added, the solution is not to fall back on racist assumptions of our own, but to hold the system of white supremacy responsible for dividing us. So when black people attack Asians, it's white people's fault because white people have somehow divided black people from Asians. Despite his literary talents, Nguyen apparently missed the irony in the notion of avoiding racist assumptions by blaming people of a certain skin colour for the attacks. In this case, people of a different skin colour than those involved in the incidents. But he was not alone in identifying whites as the problem. Manju Kulkarni, executive director of the Asian Pacific Policy and Planning Council, told NPR that xenophobic policies and racist rhetoric pushed by former President Donald Trump was behind the violence. Oakland City Council President Nikki Fortunato Bass told local Fox TV affiliate KTVU that crimes against Asians and anti-blackness are both on the rise because we live in a system rooted in white supremacy. So when the Asians phone up the police and say we're being attacked by black guys, the blacks blame white people for this. They blame the Asians for being white supremacists for calling up the police. And then they attack the Asians for this. And then that gets reported by the Asians as they're only attacking the Asians because white people told them to. I mean, the knots that they have to tie themselves into to actually blame white people for this is incredible. We have the most recent incident of this happened just the other day. An Asian American woman in New York City was travelling to a protest against anti-Asian violence when she became the victim of such a crime. A man allegedly assaulted her on the street for no apparent reason other than her race. Again, they say here that there can have been no other reason for this because she didn't know the man, he didn't steal anything from her. The only thing he could tell was her race, so they assume this is a racist attack. And yet, when this Syrian refugee kills 10 white people and the only thing he could have been able to tell about them is their race, nothing gets mentioned of it being a racist attack. The 37-year-old woman was walking in Lower Manhattan near midday on Sunday on her way to a Columbus Park rally against anti-Asian hate crimes when a man took her sign and tried to put it in a garbage can, police said. He then stomped on the sign. When the woman asked him why he did it, he allegedly punched her in the face twice with a closed fist. The woman was treated at a nearby hospital for her injuries, including cuts and bruising on her lip and a sprained ankle. The attack happened in full view of the victim's young daughter, who started crying when she saw her mother put on a stretcher, according to a local news report. The alleged attacker fled into a subway station at Astor Place. He was described by police as 6'1", 200 pounds, with a medium complexion, slim build and black hair. New York City's Hate Crimes Task Force is investigating the case. So when you hear that, you think, well, it must be white because it's the Hate Crimes Task Force investigating. There's nothing been said here about it being a black person. Nothing said about the race at all in actual fact. But the picture of the attacker clearly shows that he is black. Yet in response to this knife assault, anti-racism activists in New York held a rally against white supremacy, demanding justice for the victim. So time and again, we see that these racial attacks that are actually being carried out by blacks, we see rallies against white supremacy, we see the police covering up the fact that the attacker is black when they give out a description of the suspect, which is very dangerous, because instead of actually being looking out for the person that carried out the attack, the person that carried out the attack is free to just get away, isn't he? And instead, you have white people being suspected falsely of carrying out the attack. And now we have a blatant attack on white people, 10 white people massacred by a Syrian refugee. And we even see the former president of America blaming white people for this, blaming racism for this. And we don't see the mainstream media pointing out the fact that race was an aspect of this attack in any way. Yet all we have to do is have one Asian woman attacked on her way to a protest, and instantly that is reported as a hate crime. It is just double standards all round, isn't it? I guess the only really positive thing that we can take from this is that at least RT are reporting on this discrepancy and the fact that white people are being blamed for these attacks when they're nothing to do with it. And now with this recent massacre, it's white people that are actually the victim of the attacks. And it's been promoted that they were the ones carrying out the attack. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.